O my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Bring your cares unto me.
From the Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen Center for Media Evangelization in Ewing, New Jersey, welcome to Come to Me with Jim Manfredonia. Stay tuned for an hour of talk, reflections, and meditations on topics that are important to today's Catholics. And now, here is your host, Jim Manfredonia.
Well, a very good day to you, my friends. Welcome once again to Come to Me. My name is Jim Manfredonia. As always, a great joy to share this hour with you, as we gather every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. Let's stop and think about what time we gather. Also, we repeat the program 10 p.m. on those same days. And hey, don't forget that, you know, you can always go to our website, domesticchurchmedia.org, and we archive all of our local programs there. All the programs that we produce here at Domestic Church Media are all archived on our website. You can listen to the audio anytime. This program, of course, Friday Live, Brothers in Arms, the Bishop's Program. We have Better Together with Emily and Jen, and the Things That Don't Change with those young lads. So it's all there. And also, if it's video, which we're doing right now, of course, we do bring you video of most of our local programs. They're also archived on our YouTube page at youtube.com/domesticchurchmedia. And I do hope you subscribe to our YouTube channel. It doesn't cost you anything. It's free, and we don't bother you. All we do is let you know, if you desire, that anytime we have a program broadcasting on our YouTube channel, you're notified so you can watch it. But it is also, they are also archived there as well. I'm happy you're here on this February 20th, 2024, Tuesday in the first week of Lent, the first full week of Lent. And today I will share with you some of our Holy Father's Angelus message from Sunday, as he reflected on Sunday's reading, our Lord's encounter with you-know-who in the desert. And Holy Father is going to teach about Lent being a time to encounter wild beasts and angels. And then I thought I would also share with you, it was from yesterday's reflection and conversation with God, Father Fernandez, on the devil. Now, we don't want to give the devil too much airtime, but the battle is real. He is very real. He's after your soul. He's after the souls of your children, your grandchildren, your spouse, your friends. He's after my soul. He wants to drag us all down into the pits of hell with him. So we need to be aware of who our enemy is in order to do battle with him. So we'll get to that as well. But first, my friends, we are going to pray. And as we've been doing, we're praying this parents' deliverance prayer, a prayer for parents to pray to deliver themselves and their spouse and their minor children from the enemy, and also calling upon Almighty God to deliver their adult children from the power of the enemy. Now, last night, as we do every month, Cheryl and I attended online. It's on YouTube. It's free. At CatholicExorcism.org, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti has a deliverance session, and we always attend virtually on the YouTube channel. Very powerful. I highly encourage you, if you are not aware of it and have never attended, it's a very powerful hour on YouTube with Monsignor Rossetti. An hour deliverance prayer session, very powerful, and it's free. There's no charge, and you can check it out by going to CatholicExorcism.org, CatholicExorcism.org, and that's where I get this parents' delivery prayer from. So I do encourage you, my friends, to look into that. As I said, Cheryl and I attend, at least try to attend every month. We might miss one or two sessions every now and then if we don't have the schedule doesn't jive with. It's 7 o'clock at night. It's on YouTube, and it's free. And very powerful. Last night, Monsignor said that there were over 18,000 people from around the world attending live that session. What power there is in those prayers. So Let's raise all of our special intentions up, and especially our family intentions, my friends. You know, there is enormous division in families. The devil wants to obliterate families. He can't stand family, and he wants to destroy it. Of course, our church teaches that our family is the domestic church, the basic cell of society. And so we need to pray to keep our families unified, to keep Satan away from our minor children, from our adult children, from our grandchildren, from each other, our spouses, ourselves. You know, we have the authority as individuals to cast out demons from ourselves, from our spouse, and from our minor children. We call upon Almighty God to cast out those demons and the evil from our adult children. And trust me, there is such a dark side active in the world today. And we need these prayers. So let's bring to mind all of our special intentions, especially if you are experiencing division in your family, estrangement in your family, from sibling against sibling, parents against children, whatever the situation may be, brother and sister, mother and father, grandparents. And we call upon Almighty God to cast out these demons of division and others as well. So we begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, I invoke the full authority you've given me as a spouse and a parent, and I lift any curses, spells, seals, hexes, vexes, consecrations, voodoo, or any occult action or any evil affecting me or my spouse or my children who are minors. In Jesus' name, I cast out all evil spirits that are harming us. In Jesus' name, I reject them, I rebuke them, I renounce them, and I cast them out. For my adult children, I beg you, Heavenly Father, to hear a parent's plea and free them from any of these occult actions or any evil, and cast out all evil spirits. Father, I beseech you to send a spirit of unity and peace to my family. Heal the divisions in our family. May those family members who are estranged from each other be reconciled in forgiveness and love. May we live together in your peace. I pray for special healing graces for each one of us. Heal the wounds that plague us. Heal any depression, anxiety, fears, compulsions, addictions, angers, resentments, and any and all mental and physical illnesses. Restore us to full health. I especially ask for the following specific grace for my family, if it be your holy will. And here, my brothers and sisters, we raise up either verbally, out loud, or within our hearts, those special intentions for which we are praying today, and especially those situations and those individuals affected by the demons of division and narcissism, the demons of anger and hatred, the demons of lukewarmness that are affecting our families. Most of all, may you infuse into our hearts the gift of faith, always trusting in you. Bring back any of us who have wandered from the faith. May we be fully protected from all harm and evil by the shield of faith and the sword of truth. Make this parent's prayer in the holy name of Jesus, begging the powerful intercession of the Holy Family, with the Virgin Mary and Saint Joseph, and all the saints. Amen. And now, my friends, as Holy Father asks us to do, let's call upon the power of Saint Michael and our Blessed Mother, praying these two specific prayers he asked us to pray specifically to protect the church from the attacks of the devil. And we add to that intention to protect our families, our homes, and our country from the attacks of the devil. And so we pray, Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And we fly to thy protection, O Holy Mother of God. Do not despise our petitions and our necessities, but deliver us always from all dangers, O glorious and blessed Virgin. Amen. And we pray, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, Holy Family of Nazareth, we love you. Pray for us. Venerable Archbishop Sheen, pray for us. Saint Pope John Paul II, pray for us. Our Lady of Good Remedy, pray for us. And today, Saints Jacinta and Francesco from Fatima, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Well, again, my friends, thank you for praying with us here. Thanks for all of you who participated early today on Bruce's program. We appreciate that. Such power. You know, and now especially, I really believe with all my heart, my brothers and sisters, this apostolate is here, as you know, to evangelize. It's to bring the Word of God to as many people as possible. It's to bring that lovely and beautiful encounter with Jesus to whoever is tuned in. But I think also equally important to that is that we have this opportunity to come together in prayer. Our world needs prayer. Families need prayer. Civilization needs prayer. And we have this opportunity on a regular basis here, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at Domestic Church Media with these broadcasts, whether it be on our radio stations or on our other platforms that we use, like right now coming to you on YouTube, Facebook, video, also on the Amazon Alexa device and the Google Home device, our streaming audio, our free mobile app. You know, again, I'm so excited, as I've shared with you often, how exciting it is to know that our free Domestic Church Media mobile app has been downloaded almost 3,000 times around the world. So anybody who has downloaded that app anywhere in the world right now could be listening and praying. And it's such an important charism of this apostolate to be able to gather people from around the world to raise up these very special and powerful prayers. So please keep praying for us. We need this apostolate to be here. And trust me, I know I say it often, but I'm very, you know, when I say to you that we live from hand to mouth, literally, my friends, we do. I've mentioned to you, you can't see it here. If you're watching on camera, you can't see it, but it's off to my right. We have a door leading from the main studio to outside the building, and the door is in need of replacement. We can't even repair it. We have to replace it. And it's not just a door. It's the entire frame because it is a place of business. It has certain restrictions. There's a push bar on it, you know, all the things that the fire code requires. And the door replacement is going to cost $3,500. We've received a $100 donation from someone already toward that. Thanks be to God. And it's something that we didn't budget for. And I know money is tight. Trust me, I know that. And I've heard from many of you who've had to reduce your donations have had to cancel them because of your financial needs. And we understand that. We're all feeling the pinch of this economy. But we need this door. So I'm just going to ask you again. I throw it out. I cast out into the deep. Duke and Altum, as Jesus said, put out into the deep for a great catch. I'm putting out in the deep for a $3,400 catch because we have $100 toward the door. We need $3,500. So we need $3,400 more. We already have $100. So pray about that. It's a season of almsgiving, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. What a great alms that would be to Domestic Church Media to pay for the replacement of this door here, which, you know, we need to keep, make sure it is locked and keep out, you know, any intruders or any varmints or anybody else that might want to come in here. But the door is in total disarray. It's locked on a shoestring here, not literally, but we do need to replace it. So please pray about that. If you can help us out, just shoot me an email or make a donation online toward the door. That'd be a big help. But over and above that, we need this apostolate here to keep these airwaves open to the Word of God, as I said, to bring Jesus to as many people as possible, and to do battle with the culture. You know, we're going to talk about the devil. Devil is very real. And today, you know, we celebrate the feast of Saints Jacinta and Francesco. And, you know, there was that one apparition at Fatima, where Our Lady showed the children a vision of hell. And Lucia wrote in her journal that if Our Lady had not been present there, the children would have died from fright from what they saw. The devil is real, hell is real. And we can't pretend that it doesn't exist, and we can't pretend that the devil is this cute little cartoon character in a red suit and a tail with horns and a pitchfork. He is manifested evil, and he wants to drag your soul with him into the pits of hell. He wants your children. He wants your grandchildren. He wants to obliterate your family. He wants to destroy the church. Of course, we know that will never happen. Jesus said the gates of hell will never prevail, but that means that the gates of hell will try. So we need prayer, and we need to be aware of who our enemy is. And listen to what Holy Father had to say this weekend when he talked about Lent being a time to encounter wild beasts and angels. Pope Francis and his Angelus message focused on the temptation of Jesus in the desert, which was our reading on Sunday, to highlight that it's an invitation for us to enter the proverbial desert to come in contact with the truth. He observed that the 40 days in the desert, Christ was in the company of both wild beasts and angels. And the Holy Father reflected that when we enter this symbolic inner wilderness, we too encounter wild beasts and angels. And this is what we talked a little bit about last week, trying to really give ourselves during these 40 days in Lent opportunity to go out into our own personal desert, to get out there in the wilderness, to get out there away from all those things that could distract us from our relationship with Christ, to focus on who we are and that relationship with Jesus. Jesus and me, how can I best live the life that I am called to live up to my being a child of God? To wash myself from all those things that pull me away from him, to make myself aware of the presence of evil and the temptations that will come from the world of the flesh and the devil, and to be able to do battle. Holy Father said these wild beasts assume a deeply symbolic meaning in our spiritual life. And so we can think of them as the disordered passions that divide our heart, trying to take possession of it. They entice us. They seem seductive. But if we are not careful, we risk being torn apart by them. And continuing to talk about these disordered passions, the Holy Father suggested that we can conceive of them as the various vices, such as the lust for wealth, the vanity of pleasure. All these things, my friends, they do come as temptations. And again, we're taught and we believe that temptations will come for as long as we are breathing. Those temptations come, and they come via the world, the flesh, and the devil. And again, usually in that order. We don't give the devil too much credit more than he's due, but the world, the flesh, and the devil. And this, the various vices that we experience, the various temptations, this lust for wealth. We see these Powerballs and Mega Millions, 100 million, 200 million. Somebody, won over $1 billion. What in the world can you do with $1 billion? You wouldn't be able to spend it. I always tell the Lord, I've been telling it for 30 years, Lord, if you let me win the Powerball, I'll put Catholic radio stations up and down the East Coast. But I say, and it's true, what he always says to me, because that would let everybody else off the hook. But I think we all think, what would it be like to have that kind of money? What would we do with it? How would we spend it? Or rather, hopefully, to whom can we give it away? Who needs it? But the lust for wealth, the lust and the vanity of pleasure, Holy Father said. They must be tamed and fought, otherwise they will devour our freedom. He said in order to confront these vices that afflict each and every one of us, we need to go into the wilderness to become aware of their presence and to face them. And Lent is the time to do that, Pope Francis said. The setting of the desert has featured prominently in the Holy Father's catechetical series throughout the year. And, of course, it's the main theme of his message for Lent this year, taken from the book of Exodus. Through the desert, God leads us to freedom. And while it's imperative to undertake this journey of self-examination, the Holy Father underscored that we are not alone. We are aided by the angels who are God's messengers and help us out, who do us good. Indeed, Pope Francis said, their characteristic, according to the gospel, is service, the exact opposite of possession, typical of the passions we spoke about earlier. And the devil will come, the devil will come at us with all these temptations. The devil knows our vulnerabilities. The devil knows our weaknesses. The devil knows our disordered desires. The devil knows what and when we are most vulnerable. He'll never leave us alone. And if we have a disordered desire for wealth or pleasure or any of these seven deadlies, pride, sloth, the devil knows. And as Holy Father has often said, never enter into dialogue with him. The great example that we saw in this past Sunday's gospel. Of course, Mark was very short and concise. The other gospel accounts of our Lord's encounter with Satan in the desert have a bit more description to them. And what did Jesus do? He didn't dialogue with him, but he used scripture to do battle with the devil. And he used the word of God, and we need to do the same. Because the devil will be relentless in coming after us, especially in a season like Lent, when we are setting aside time and effort to have this mortification, to enter out, go out into the desert with a hunger, for passion, maybe perhaps, or a passion for things that we desire, but we're denying ourselves. And so Satan knows our weaknesses. He knows how vulnerable we can be at times. And so when the Holy Father is talking about this self-examination, that we can go to our guardian angels, our angels who are there to serve, who are there to help us in this serious battle. Indeed, Holy Father said the characteristic of the angels is service. And we can always go to them and ask them for help and assistance. Just supposing the spirit of possession with the virtue of service, the Holy Father stressed that the angels recall the good thoughts and sentiments suggested by the Holy Spirit, adding that while temptations tear us apart, the good divine inspirations unify us in harmony. They quench the heart, infuse the taste of Christ, the flavor of heaven. Thus, order and peace return to the soul, Pope Francis said. Beyond the circumstances of life, whether favorable or unfavorable here too, however, in order to grasp the thoughts and feelings inspired by God, one must be silent and enter into prayer. And this is something, again, my friends, I've suggested it often before. I have found it to be very, very helpful to me personally at the end of my day to pray night prayer from the Liturgy of the Hours. Certainly, you pray morning prayer, evening prayer, and if you can get in there, the daytime prayer, it's beautiful. I have the very great blessing of being here in the station with the chapel with the Blessed Sacrament where I could do that, and I do that most often, quite often each day, to be in this special place of prayer. But I know it's not possible for most people to be in the chapel and to be able to pray before the Blessed Sacrament as readily as we can here. But we still can make time to do that. And I have found personally that night prayer is a beautiful way to enter into, or actually should say end the day, and enter into slumber, you know, before you retire for the day. Because it involves an examination of conscience. It is like, literally, for me personally, it's quiet, it's silent, it's prayer. It is like going out into the desert to be alone with God in that beautiful prayer. There is an examination of conscience. There's a penitential rite. We pray a psalm. We listen to God's word. And then we pray the antiphon. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. What a beautiful way to end your day as you enter into slumber. May the Almighty God grant us a restful night and a peaceful death. That's the last words we pray in night prayer. May the Almighty God grant us a restful night and a peaceful death. I mean, really, that's kind of all we could ask for, right, as we're ending our day, a restful night, and if God calls us home, a peaceful death. So I would highly recommend that night prayer. And you can get, I don't know if we have it on our app. I know we have daytime prayer. Let me see if I have it here real quick. I know we have morning prayer and evening prayer. Let's see. Pray. Mm-hmm. Morning prayer. And we do. We have night prayer on our free mobile app. So if you, and again, the app is free, and that's what you can do. Just you open up the app. If you don't have a breviary, just pull up the Domestic Church Media app. Night prayer is on there. And it, you know, it changes each day, 7 days. Beautiful prayers. As I said, it begins with an examination of conscience. Yeah, and then there's a little penitential rite. And then we pray a psalm. Then we listen to God's word. And then we pray our antiphon and our final prayers. It takes about 10 minutes at the most, if that. But it's a beautiful way, again, to kind of create a little desert for yourself at night before you retire, you know, and end your day, because you're examining your conscience. You're going over where we have fallen, where we have fallen short, where we have offended God and each other in some way, and we make that beautiful act of penance, contrition. And then we pray a psalm, and then we listen to God's word, and we end our day by asking God to protect us. Protect us, Lord, as we stay awake. Watch over us as we sleep, that awake we may keep watch with Christ, and asleep rest in his peace. And our final prayer in night prayer, our final prayer of the day, may the Almighty God grant us a restful night and a peaceful death. Amen. So I suggest it. If you have our app, Domestic Church Media mobile app. Again, it's free. If you haven't downloaded it, it's free. And then on there is night prayer. So the Holy Father, again, talks about this desire to have peace in our soul beyond the circumstances of our life, whether favorable or unfavorable, to grasp the thoughts and feelings inspired by God. What does he want for us? And this is the time of year, my friends, this beautiful season that is a season of prayer, fasting, almsgiving, a time of penance, where we prepare our lives, our souls, for the eternity of and the glory of this beautiful Easter season that will be fast approaching, reminding us what Jesus did for us, to open the gates of heaven for all that await us and what awaits us. So these wonderful exercises along the way, my brothers and sisters, I highly encourage it, because the devil will do everything he possibly can to distract us, to tear us away from that, to pull us off course. He wants nothing more than to see us fail in our efforts. So when we come back from break, a beautiful reflection from Father Fernandez in conversation with God on the reality and the presence of the devil. So stay where you are, my friends. I'll be back with more. Don't go away. Have you downloaded the Domestic Church Media app for all your mobile devices? It's free and enables you to stay in touch with Domestic Church Media and all we have to offer. You can tune into our live broadcast 24/7 as well as listen to our archives and podcasts. And you can even watch our local DCM programs live on our YouTube channel or watch the archive programs all on your phone or tablet. In addition to all things DCM, you'll also have so many other resources right at your fingertips. The free Domestic Church Media mobile app also gives you the daily mass readings, the Liturgy of the Hours, numerous common prayers and novenas, and daily saints of the day. And that's not all. The Domestic Church Media mobile app also includes the complete Catechism of the Catholic Church, the entire Bible, as well as multiple Catholic periodicals and newspapers like the National Catholic Register, Our Sunday Visitor, and so many others. Plus, you'll have access to all our local diocesan newspapers and so much more. Go to your app store today and download the free Domestic Church Media mobile app. We know you'll love it.
What have you done for your marriage today?
I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
She got a really short haircut that she hated, and I wrote her a note and put it up on the mirror saying that she was a cute girl with cute hair.
I got him mustard and mayonnaise for his sandwich when we were having lunch.
Today we've actually organized a date night tonight.
And silverware and napkins. Wasn't that wonderful?
What have I done for my marriage today?
Wow, that is a great question.
I took the baby while she worked.
I suppose I didn't yell at him for anything at all.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. I have carried my wife's purse.
What have you done for your marriage today?
What have I done?
I listened to my wife when we talked on the telephone today.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
She really likes it when I listen.
What have you done for your marriage today? Little things can make a big difference. For ideas, go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Church.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
For the first 1,000 years, there were married priests within the church. There still are married priests under certain circumstances, so it's not absolutely necessary. However, I'm a supporter of it, and I wouldn't want us to move in the direction of kind of a, optional, some do it, some don't. I get it. And I go back to Paul, and it's Paul's words that are actually in the ordination ritual, about an undivided life, a total gift. I have nothing but the greatest respect for married people. In fact, when I hear the term heroic sanctity, when they talk about saints, I think of parents right away, who give themselves to their kids. But there's something, I think, pure and simple and undivided about the life of celibacy. It's a radical conformity unto the celibate Christ. Why am I celibate? My ultimate answer, because Jesus was, and I'm conformed to him.
The leading Catholic voices are on EWTN Radio.
It started like it does for many people. Question my faith and question authority. And I feel that the reason why I left was the draw of the world. The world was pulling me away. Some people would say, Satan was working on me. He did not want me in church. He wanted me to be desperate. He wanted me to have the thoughts of suicide. I started to realize that a lot of the things that I experienced in my life were a result of my rebellion against God and against authority. Coming back to the church is the first step in healing from all of the hurts of the world. I went from being desperate and in despair to finding hope and encouragement for the future. I'm on God's team. I know who I belong to. And I know where I'm going. And there's nothing that can separate me from God's love.
Take another look at the Catholic Church. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hello, I'm Bishop David O'Connell of the Diocese of Trenton, and this is a Eucharistic moment. Our Catholic faith and teachings draw their inspiration from and rely upon the Word of God as the source of their truth. The Holy Scriptures, both in the Old and New Testaments, are filled with constant accounts of God's presence among us. The New Testament Gospels, of course, center on the mystery of God's incarnation in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. The whole of Holy Scriptures lead us to the moment at the Last Supper, when the Lord Jesus took bread and wine only to become his very body and blood, blessed, broken, and given to the disciples and through them to all of us throughout time. Do this in memory of me. Before he ascended to the Father, Jesus said, "Observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." The Eucharist is the way Jesus Christ is with us always, and is our central belief, a mystery, a sacrament, and the source of life.
Do you love praying for people? Have you ever wanted to use your gift of prayer to share Jesus with others and build up the body of Christ? Start a public prayer station with St. Paul Street Evangelization. Listen to people's needs, pray with them, or invite them to meet you at church. St. Paul Street Evangelization can help you get started. Find out how at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back on this February 20th, 2024. I'm happy you are here with me. Days are getting longer. I was watching the weather last night, and the young woman doing the weather said she was looking ahead, long-range forecast. She goes, "I don't know. Are we going to really be able to get any more snow around here?" You know, it's just a couple weeks till March, and then spring. First day of spring this year is on the Feast of St. Joseph, March 19th. So, not far away, you know. What's today? The 20th. Less than a month now. So, I'm not a fan of the snow. You know, I used to enjoy it. Cheryl and I were looking at pictures in our photo albums yesterday, and there was apparently a blizzard of 1996, and we had 33 inches of snow, and we had pictures of the kids out in this. That was, you know, out in the snow, and we had to shovel it and all kinds of stuff. But you don't really get that kind of weather anymore. But they, you know, the weather patterns go in. That's exactly what they do. They go in patterns. I always get, whenever they're like saying that, you know, the when it's going to be warm, you know, well, this could break the old record for heat today that was set back in 1922. So it's not a climate change thing. It's a pattern. Anyway. So let's go to Father Fernandez in conversation with God. And this is actually from yesterday, but he was reflecting on Sunday's gospel, of course, our Lord's temptation in the desert. And he talked about the existence of the devil and the devil's activity. We can't deny this. You know, if we put blinders on and pretend the devil either doesn't exist or has no influence, or, you know, not that really active in the world today, then we're wrong. Sean and I attended this, and we do it every month, and I encourage you to do it. Go to catholicexorcism.org and sign up for the next deliverance session. Monsignor Thomas, Monsignor Stephen Rossetti is an American exorcist, and he has stories of exorcisms that, you know, that are more frightening than the movie. So it's real, and the devil is real. And Father Fernandez says, "The devil exists and acts in people and society. His activity is mysterious but real and effective." Then he quotes from Scripture, from Sunday's Mass, "Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain. Then Jesus said to him, 'Begone, Satan.'" The devil exists. Holy Scripture speaks of him from the first to the last of the revealed books, from Genesis to the Apocalypse. In the parable of the wheat and the weeds, our Lord affirms that the weeds, whose purpose is to suffocate the wheat, were sown by the enemy. In the parable of the sower, the evil one comes and snatches away what is sown. Some people are inclined toward a superficial optimism and think evil is merely an incidental imperfection in a world which is continually evolving towards better days. Nevertheless, the history of mankind has been adversely affected by the devil's influence. We find in our day all the features of an intense evil which cannot be explained in terms of human behavior alone. The devil, in all sorts of ways, wreaks havoc on mankind. There is no doubt that the whole of man's history has been the story of dour combat with the power of evil, stretching, so our Lord says to us, from the very dawn of history up to the last days. And that's from the Second Vatican Council. I'm going to read that again. There is no doubt that the whole of man's history has been the story of dour combat with the power of evil, stretching, so our Lord tells us, from the very dawn of history up to the last day. The devil does this in such a way that he provokes incalculable harm of a spiritual nature and, indirectly, even of a physical nature to individuals and to society. And that's from a general audience by John Paul, St. Pope John Paul II. He said the devil does this in such a way that he provokes incalculable harm of a spiritual nature and, indirectly, even of a physical nature to individuals and society. So we're really fooling ourselves if we believe that this being, the devil, who was a fallen angel, God created the angels. Satan refused to serve God, and he and a third of his cohorts were cast out of heaven because of their disobedience. They are very real beings. And we would be, if we believe in guardian angels and angels, we certainly have to believe in demons, the fallen angels. You see, when the New Age movement hijacked angels and started turning them into these, you know, pyramid-dwelling, crystal-eating beings, whatever they do with them, that's the work of the devil. The devil would love us to believe he doesn't exist. But we see just the world around us, some of the evil that exists. How can this be? And this is what John Paul said, that he causes incalculable harm of spiritual nature and indirectly, even of a physical nature, to individuals and to society. He's active in the world. Father Fernandez says the devil's activity is mysterious, but at the same time, real and effective. From the first centuries, Christians were conscious of diabolical activity. St. Peter admonished the first Christians from his first letter, chapter 5, when he said, "Be sober, be watchful. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Resist him firm in your faith." That's from the first letter of Peter. With Jesus Christ, the devil's dominion has been reduced. For he, Jesus, has freed us from the power of Satan. And as a result of the redeeming work of Christ, the devil can only cause real harm to those who freely allow him to by consenting to evil and separating themselves from God. So the power of Satan is limited to what we allow him to do. Certainly, Satan is no more powerful than God. I mean, there's no way, obviously. And God will never allow temptations to come to us that we could not overcome. So we have the power to resist the devil. And as Father says, that as a result of the redeeming work of Christ, the devil can only cause real harm to those who freely allow him to, by consenting to evil and separating themselves from God. In many passages of the gospel, our Lord shows himself overcoming the devil, freeing many people from diabolical possession. We place our trust in Jesus, and he does not allow us to be tempted beyond our strength. The devil will try to reduce the human spirit and lead it to violate God's precepts, little by little darkening the hearts of those who try to serve him. This he will do to make them forsake the true God, turning to himself instead as though he were a god indeed. That's from St. Irenaeus. The devil will try to reduce the human spirit and lead it to violate God's precepts, little by little darkening the hearts of those who try to serve him. You know, the more we sin and are unrepentant, it's two steps backward, right? And if we don't repent and return to the Lord forward, and we live in that sin, and we sin again and again and again unrepentant, we're going deeper and deeper into the darkness. And you look at the world today, and you wonder, how many people do you know, how many people I know who have no beliefs whatsoever? Their God is a type of spiritual living, you know, well, I'm not really religious, I'm spiritual. I don't know, well, you know, so are demons. They're spiritual. A lot of spirits out there, but they're not all the Holy Spirit, you know. And so they allow themselves to, even unwillingly, live in that darkness of sin more and more and more, ever turning away and walking away from God. God doesn't walk away from us. We walk away from him. God has given us the means to overcome all temptations. Nobody sins necessarily. Let us consider in depth during this Lent what this means. As well as this, in order to free us from the devil's influence, God has given us an angel to help and protect us. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá once said, if you call upon your guardian angel at the moment of trial, he will protect you from the devil and will bring you holy inspirations. Find yourself in time of temptation. And sometimes the temptations are very strong because, again, if they're from the devil, and they're not all from the devil, but if it is from the devil, and he's coming at us at a very vulnerable time, knowing exactly what our disordered desires might be perhaps at the time, he'll come at us pinpoint accuracy. Saint Jose Maria Escrivá said, call upon your guardian angel at that moment. You know, that's our free will. Sometimes our free will say, but if I do that, I'm going to not be enjoying this moment of temptation. So call upon that guardian angel. And St. Jose Maria Escrivá said, he will protect you from the devil, and he will bring you holy inspirations. And then Father Fernandez describes who the devil is. The devil is a personal and real and individual being of a spiritual and indivisible nature who separated himself from God forever by his sin, because the devil and the other demons were created naturally good by God, but they became bad of themselves. Of course, our Lord said that the devil is a liar and the father of lies. Think about how... Well, and then also, he's the father of sin, of discord, of affliction, of hatred, of all that is absurd and evil on the earth. Think about our culture. How much deception do we see in the world today? How much discord do we see in the world today? How much affliction? How much hatred? You know, we have just an angry, angry society, especially here in our country, even in our church. It's horrible to say, but it's so true. There is such disharmony at times in our church over things that shouldn't be causing disharmony or discord or anger. I'm sorry. It shouldn't be. I mean, let's be honest. We certain factions argue over the Mass, the greatest prayer of the church, that Mother Church right now says can be celebrated in both forms. I mean, and one side thinks the other side is not as good as theirs. Oh, horrible. People arguing over the Roman pontiff, the one who is occupying the chair of St. Peter. Where does that come from? Where does that anger come from? In families, discord, affliction, deception, estrangement, division. But as Jesus said, he's the father of lies. He's also the father of sin, the father of discord, the father of affliction, the father of hatred, and the father of all that is absurd, and the father of all evil on earth. He is the astute and envious serpent who brings death to this world. The enemy who sows evil in man's heart. And the only thing we have to fear if we are not close to God. His sole purpose in the world, the devil's sole purpose in the world, which he has never renounced, is our perdition. Every day he will try to achieve that purpose through all the means at his disposal. And then here's a quote from St. Pope John Paul II at his from one of his general audiences in 1986. It all began with his rejection of God and God's kingdom, when he usurped his sovereign rights and tried to overturn the economy of salvation and the very ordering of creation itself. This attitude can be found reflected in the words of the tempter to our first parents. You will be like gods. This is how the evil spirit endeavors to transplant into man the attitude of proud rivalry, of insubordination and opposition to God that has become the motivating force of his whole existence. Again, we know that Satan has infiltrated governments, churches, organizations, companies, families. The devil is the first cause of evil and of the disorders and ruptures which are produced in families and in society. Listen to that. The devil is the first cause of evil and of the disorders and ruptures which are produced in families and in society. Cardinal Newman once said, for instance, suppose a sudden darkness were to fall upon the streets of a crowded city in daytime. You may fancy, without my telling you, what a noise and clamor there would be, foot passengers, carriages, carts, horses, all being mixed together. Such is the state of the world. The evil spirit which worketh in the children of disbelief, the god of this world, as St. Paul says, has blinded the eyes of them that believe not, and hence they are obliged to wrangle and debate, for they have lost their way, and they fall out with each other, and one says this and one says that because they do not see. You know, I think about our society. Now, I am, as most of you are, I think, probably in the baby boom generation born between 1946 and 1964. We're the baby boomers. We're now all reaching our senior years. We were a little wild, perhaps, back in the 60s and 70s. But I think as we began our families and began to grow up a little bit and open our eyes and our hearts, we're starting to see the light at the end of the tunnel here, that as Father Groeschel would say often, that we see the lights at the exit ramp coming up. Maybe we've changed a little bit. I know I've changed a lot from my 20s. But I think about the millennials and the Gen X generation and those after them, where we see the suicide rates so high, the rates of despair, the rates of anger, of dissatisfaction, of hopelessness, and it's because I believe so many of them, and even in our own generation, many of them, we're not all come back to the faith, but anybody who has left the faith, anybody who has no faith, they have nothing beyond this world. Imagine that, nothing beyond this world. And so Satan says, this is my world. I am the prince of this world. Follow me. I'll give you everything. I'll give you whatever you want in this life. This is my world. I am the prince of this world. Of course, he's also the father of lies. And so many souls begin to follow that way of life. And they begin to think there's nothing beyond this life. So the older I get, the closer to human death that I get, the closer to the end, where you and I, as people of faith, know that death is not the end. Death in this life, in this world, is just the beginning, as we are born then into eternal life. It's this life that's kind of our spring training, really, now that we're getting into that beautiful, well, for me anyway, I love baseball. I love the baseball season. Getting ready for the season, our eternal season in heaven. But the devil in this world, he will do everything he possibly can to distract us, to tempt us, to fool us, to lie to us, just as he did to our first parents. You'll become like gods if you follow me, if you do what I tell you. You'll become like gods. And so we have to resist him, as St. Peter said, for he's prowling around like a roaring lion waiting to devour us. Resist him in our faith. I got to go, my friends. I'll be back tomorrow, God willing. Enjoy the rest of this beautiful February day, and I pray you have a blessed rest of the day. My name is Jim Manfredonia. Thank you for listening. God bless you, and God love you.